Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward. That's what Avanti means, move forward, so that they can reach their potential. And I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today I have on the show Ben DeGeorge. Ben, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Dave. I'm great. Happy Monday to you.
Happy. Well, today actually is we're pre-recording this, so it's Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you.
It's a great Thursday. It is going to be a fantastic day.
Thank you for having me here.
So the official name of your company is St. Pauli Textiles, right?
Yes.
Very cool. So Ben DeGeorge, I first want to start out by telling everybody how we met. So Ben and a guy named Joe Norman, who actually is right downstairs working here as well. Mm-hmm. We think it was about, you graduated almost 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So it's probably about 11 or 12 years ago. You guys were students at SUNY Geneseo.
Yep.
Buddies. Mm-hmm. And you had the idea to start a, what was it, a blog?
Yeah, it was a blog and newsletter combined. So we sent out a weekly newsletter. We had a 5,000-person mailing list that we compiled in college, and we interviewed VIPs and put them into that newsletter and sent it out every week.
Was it called the VIP newsletter or something?
Yeah, it was called VIP Profiles.
VIP Profiles.
So Bigger Impact, VIP Profiles.
Bigger Impact.
Yes. That's what it
was. Yeah. Yes. And so you interviewed me somehow.
Yep.
Someone had deluded you into thinking that I was a VIP. So thank you for that.
A bunch of people recommended you. So there's several people who recommended that we get in touch with you and interview you for that.
You're very, very, very nice, Ben. I appreciate that. So most college students are doing other things, we'll say, besides starting like really cool newsletters.
Yeah.
What inspired you and Joe to do this?
Mm-hmm. So I was a business major in college. Joe was an English major, but interested in business. And we read a book by Jeffrey Gittimer, who Dave, you know, and it's called The Little Black Book of Selling by Dave Gittimer. Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm sorry.
Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah. And so from that book, we came up with the idea of sending a weekly newsletter out to everyone we know and featuring people that we knew that were successful in that newsletter. Mm-hmm. So we thought it'd be a good way to create relationships with people who have interesting stories, to learn more about business. We both got job interviews and internship opportunities from that as college students. It was really pretty amazing. So we did that for 3 years. So every week we'd feature two people. We probably, between the two of us, we spent 15 hours each a week on that project, in addition to being full-time college students and athletes. We both ran on the track and cross country team. So it took a ton of time for 3 years, but we learned a lot.
How many interviews did you do? You have a rough idea?
Yeah, we did, I would say, going on close to 200.
Wow.
I would say total.
Yeah.
And they were long form, 5-page single spaced profiles that we wrote up of these people. So we would sit down with people, spend 2 hours with a microphone interviewing them. Mm-hmm. We would take that, go back, transcribe it, and write a profile on that person. So it was a ton of work.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
Well, do you guys still have relationships? Obviously with me.
We do.
12 years later. Did you maintain a lot of those relationships?
Yes, we do. There's a lot of people that we're still in touch with or that we go to for advice. Like you, I've gone to you for advice over the years, and you've been very, very helpful in that. So it's been neat.
Well, and I don't even know if I've told you the story.
Yeah.
But you actually so you say that I inspired you back in the day to start your real estate business because I think you were asking advice, and I said, follow your heart, but have real estate be a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
That was just my advice. Mm-hmm. You were thinking about buying a house, and I said,
buy
a triple, live in one of the apartments, and rent out the other two, and you get your mortgage paid for it.
That was amazing advice.
You've taken that to a whole nother level. With a student that's become the master, for sure, because I know that you're very involved in real estate, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And I forgot if I told you this or not, but You had called me out of the blue a couple years ago, mm-hmm. And you were just being a nice guy. You wanted to get
right.
together,
right.
and you were thanking me.
Right.
I think you were looking at your notes from the past, and you realized that I was the guy, and thank you for that, that inspired mm-hmm. you to buy some real estate.
Absolutely.
And you were calling to thank me.
Absolutely.
And then at the end, you were like, Dave, you should just coach people to help them start and grow businesses.
Yeah.
And at that time, my previous business, Next Step U Magazine,
right.
was getting its little butt kicked by the digital revolution, and I was looking for some new adventures
sure.
myself.
Sure.
And I just kind of was, I was in my car. I remember the moment I was on 590, and it just hit me, and I said, that's a really good idea. I think I would like to do that. Literally got back to the office, went in Diana Fisher's office and said, we're going to start a coaching business. I'm going to be a coach. You're going to help me market it. And we're into, what are we going to call it? And I said, we're going to call it davidmamano.com. And literally a month later, we had a website. I started coaching people. And then we decided to have an event for entrepreneurs
right.
to, and I thought it would be a good marketing tool. You know,
right.
I have a couple hundred people in the audience. We'll put on a really great show,
yeah.
great speakers, be great content. But at the same time, everybody in that audience, you know, certainly could be mm-hmm. A prospect for my coaching services.
Right.
And then Diana said, well, we're not going to call it the Dave Mamano event. What do you want to call it?
Right.
And I literally just said, well, Next Step in Italian is Avanti.
Sure.
Let's call it the Avanti Entrepreneur
sure.
Summit.
Sure.
And we did. So,
that's amazing.
And that's where I am here now. 2 years later, I'm doing a radio show, as
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
A monthly or a weekly national podcast.
Right.
Another event coming up March 1st. So it's
right.
our fourth one. I still do coaching. We do a magazine. And so we just do a lot of products for mm-hmm. entrepreneurs under the umbrella name mm-hmm. of Avanti. But when I really think back, mm-hmm. it was you calling to thank me. And grab lunch.
Yeah.
Inspired. So yeah. Inspired. So you played it. What do you say? Pay it. You paid it forward. You paid it backward.
Well,
you paid it back to me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think the lesson there is just paying attention,
mm-hmm.
because in order to be successful, as you know, you just pay attention and listen to what people say.
Yeah.
Again, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, when you said to me, "Hey, don't wait 5 years to buy your first multifamily property. Figure out a way to do it now." I was kind of shocked at that time. I was 21 years old, 22 years old. I thought that it was impossible to do something like that, but I was paying attention to a guy that I respect who gave me some serious advice. So I looked into it, and now 250 apartments later, 90,000 square feet of office, you know, that advice mattered. I don't know where I would be size-wise with the property investment company, which is DeGeorge Property Group, if you had not given me that advice. But I think for anyone who wants to be successful, the key really is to just pay attention, because you never know where the good advice is going to come from. If you're reading something, if you're talking to somebody, you have to pay attention and have an open mind.
Well, and kudos to you for not only paying attention, but acting on it.
Yeah.
I think part of why I was so pleased, you know, hey, Dave, you were like, Dave, I look back at my notes and
yeah.
I realized, you know, you gave me the advice and 200 units later, whatever
yeah.
it was, you know, and I was so happy that I'm like, hey, someone actually listened to me.
Yeah, you know? A lot of people listen to you. you're good.
But people listen, but
yeah.
not everybody like executes. Like you
That's
actually
true.
Executed the advice. You know, and even if, you know, my thought,
sure.
like, I don't like real estate that much that I want to do it full time.
Yeah.
But I say to myself, it should be a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Have it
yeah.
be a piece of the pie as,
yeah.
as your investment portfolio. Right.
right?
And so you actually
yeah.
executed that advice. So,
yeah.
hey, Ben, on that note, believe it or not, we got to take a quick
yeah.
break already.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. I'm here with Ben DeGeorge, real estate mogul, and one of the owners of St. Pauli Textiles. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Dave.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800- 800-261-7848 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7848. That's 800-261-7848. 800-261-7848. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hi, I'm Joan London. And if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-217-1052. 800-217-1052.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamanu, your host. I'm here with Ben DeGeorge, a great young business owner here in the lovely Rochester, New York area. We're sitting in his offices in Farmington, New York. This is Farmington. And Ben, we're talking about the fact that, Ben is running now with his brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Running a great company called St. Pauli Textiles. And we're going to talk about what that company does. Mm-hmm. But we're also talking about the way, and this is such a great lesson that Ben and his friend Joe, when they were in college, contacted me over 12 mm-hmm. years ago and to interview me for mm-hmm. their blog and newsletter that they were doing while they're in college.
Yeah.
12 years later, here we are. And it just shows the power of connections by reaching out. I mean, for me, I do this show, right? I do this show 5 shows a week. I do a national podcast once a week.
Mm-hmm.
What a great intro for me to meet these incredibly gifted business people, yeah. build relationships, and excuse me, and continue these relationships. Mm-hmm. And that was your idea, right, with the newsletters. Just what a great way to get in the door and learn and grow, right?
It really is, because I read somewhere once that we are the sum of the people that we know and the things we read. So if you want to improve anything in your life, you need to be talking to people and reading things.
Yeah.
So, you know, think back to the big things that have had an impact in your life over the past year. It was probably the people that you talked to and the things that you read, which is kind of amazing to think, to think back to those impactful moments and how often we have them.
Yep.
Right? I mean, because I learn a lot every year. I walk into every year thinking that I'm some sort of expert, and then I realize a few months later, oh wait, you don't know anything. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. You have no idea. So that's kind of the amazing the amazing part of growing is realizing that there's a lot more to learn. So I feel that I've been successful, but I know that there's a lot to learn.
I'm reading a book right now. I'm rereading it years later, Delivering Happiness, Zappa's guy, Tony
good.
Shea. You it's read that book
good.
Yet?
Yes, I have, yeah.
So, incredible book. And he had a quote in there. I'm listening to an audio book. He had a quote in there this morning that it's very hard. And if it wasn't hard, you wouldn't have a business.
Right.
I mean, it's never going to be. And if it starts to get easy, get ready for the onslaught of competitors coming your way.
Right.
So, Ben. Tell me about this business. So St. Pauli Textile, what do you guys do? Give me the scoop.
Yeah, so St. Pauli Textile is a neat business. My dad founded this company 21 years ago, and what we do is we collect used clothing. So we work with nonprofit organizations in 9 states total. So it might be a local church, might be a school, a fire department, a Boy Scout or Girl Scout troop. It could be a large thrift store or a small clothing closet. And we actually collect the extra clothing items that those organizations don't need, or we do specific clothing collection projects with these local organizations. So we collect right around 100,000 pounds of clothing every day across those nine states. We have 70 team members, 70 employees in this company. We collect that clothing. We send it all over the U.S. and world to roughly 40 to 45 different countries every year.
Wow.
So it's a pretty amazing business. We work with some of the most amazing people in our local communities and around the world to keep clothing out of the landfill. And the fact that this is even a business is remarkable. So my dad started this, again, with his best friend 21 years ago. They started collecting clothing door-to-door in a pickup truck. And here we are now, 21 years later, operating in the United States.
So you got those yellow bins in a lot of church parking lots, right?
Yep, you got that.
So
spot
I'm here in Victor. I go to St. Patrick's, good Catholic boy, yep. And you make it easy for me. My kids' clothes, my clothes I don't wear anymore. What do I do with them? Sometimes we don't want to give them away to friends and family because we're just like, I don't think they want these, so we bag them. And you make it easy, right?
Thank you.
And when did those bins start? Because you said your dad started door-to-door.
Yeah. So a few years in, my grandfather, so that's my mom's dad, he was going to drop off clothing at their first warehouse. And he didn't want to haul his bag all the way across, all the way into the building and across to the back of the warehouse. So we said, hey, you know what? I'll build you a small shed, and we'll put it outside your original warehouse. So kudos to my grandfather who came up with that idea. He's really the one that came up with the idea of doing a clothing donation shed that would be there for the long term. So the first clothing shed is still out there. It's in Wolcott. It's different than what our current locations look like, the new locations that we're putting out, but it's still there and it's still in good shape. So, but it is kind of amazing to see how businesses change over time, because they started collecting clothing door to door. They thought that was going to be their original model. From there, they started doing clothing drives on Saturdays. So they would my dad and his best friend Paul would bring a box truck to churches and do a Saturday clothing drive, or go to a school and do a Tuesday afternoon clothing drive. So that then morphed into our current model, which is having more long-term shed locations at nonprofit organizations to do the collections.
So, because part of the money goes to the nonprofit.
Yep, part of the money does go to the local nonprofit
organization.
So you're
keeping clothes out of landfills.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You're putting, you're giving, you know, they're ending up with people who really desperately need these clothes, and you're also being able to give some money to the charity.
Absolutely, and so that's huge, and we feel good doing that every day. Because of the fact that we have an interesting mission, the people that work for us do care. We have just a great team of people. We have people that are that work for us that are on the road every day. They're hauling bags of clothing. It can be hard work, but they care because they see the local impact that it has. They'll meet a local church person, and that church person will give them cookies around the holidays. Or, they'll see that this clothing is not going to the landfill, and they truly do care. So we're lucky that we have this business. It really has it can grow more. Right now we're in the process of growing in Massachusetts and Connecticut, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But then I split my time 50-50 between St. Pauli Textile and my property business, which is DeGeorge Property Group.
How'd you think of that name?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
great. It's great. Like I thought DavidBomano.com.
Great name, right?
Yeah, very creative.
So I have a neat work day in that I get to split my time between those two businesses. I work very hard, but I have lots of flexibility, and it's exciting because I get to work with great people. Both of those businesses are in the process of growing, and it's again I'm just overall a fortunate guy. So I spend my time focusing on the growth, making sure that our operations are working well, and learning.
Yeah.
Because I'm young. I'm 30 years old, and I realize
you're
very
young.
Yeah, thank you.
But you're doing very well for 30.
Thank you, yeah. So I do spend a lot of time reading, listening to podcasts, talking to people like Dave, and trying to
–
yeah, thank you. And trying to become you know, as knowledgeable as I possibly can.
Well, you're way ahead of where I was when I was 30. So
I am not sure about that. You had a successful business at that point,
well,
too.
Well, I think you have two successful businesses. So, you know, that's fantastic. So what, you know, if you had to think about what you do best, because I know you have two brothers in the business as well.
Yes.
Which is, you know, another whole dynamic, you know, family business. Yeah. So first of all, what do you do really well and how do you spend your time? And how do you kind of, you know, manage that with what your brothers bring to the table as well to keep that relationship healthy too? Because, you know, running a business, having a family, two very separate things.
Sure.
That require a lot of skill to keep functional.
Yeah.
You mix those two together, you're adding a whole another dynamic to the soup, right? So tell me a little bit about how you manage all that and once again, what you do best.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I'm very fortunate that we all get along here. And that's kind of the rarity in some family businesses. So my older brother, Joey, he runs half the operation, and then he also manages all the shipments and all the sending of clothing to other countries and within the U.S. So he has a very, very busy job. My brother Ted, he's involved in the business as well. We're all equal owners of a portion of the business along with our father, but we all have different roles. What I think I do best is I think long term, but I also feel that I can get things done. So there's a stat that people use from time to time. They talk about what companies were around in the U.S. 100 years ago. So if you took the 50 largest companies in the U.S. 100 years ago, so in 1918, only four of them exist now.
Wow.
So you take the 50 biggest companies, four exist now. So you can kind of take the 50 largest companies in the U.S. now and extrapolate that. And you only have four of those companies that are going to even exist in 100 years, which is kind of shocking. So the rule is almost every business, unfortunately, ends up not existing into the future. And I think more business owners have to think that way. And the challenge there is to, one, try to be in a business that's going to be around for as long as possible. It's a hard thing to do, but that's one of the challenges. Another challenge is to be as diversified as possible. And then you have to be ready to shift your business. So maybe having multiple business ideas going takes care of that diversification, but being ready for the fact that 20 years from now, your business may look completely different. And, you know, most of us are not going to be around in 100 years. You never know. Elon Musk may invent some sort of pill that we can all take that makes us live to be...
I'll be 149. 200.
There you go.
You never know. I got an aunt who's 101. So.
Well, and I'm sure you'll be friends with Elon Musk down the road too, right?
Why not? Why not?
But it's important for us to keep that in mind as business owners, that change does happen. And we truly have to be prepared for that because it's a hard thing. But the hard things are where the rewards are.
Absolutely. No risk, no reward, right?
Yeah. So
what are some of the businesses? I'm going to interrupt you just for a second.
Go for it.
So there's four businesses that are still around. Do you know any of them by chance?
Yeah. Ford is one of them.
Okay.
General Electric.
Mm-hmm.
One of the oil companies.
Okay.
So Standard Oil,
Standard Oil
has been broken up,
Exxon, but it became like
still around.
Yeah.
I can't recall what the other would be.
What about Kodak? I mean, Kodak's been kind of reinvented in...
True. I'm not sure if it was in the top 50 then. You're right. Yeah. I mean, no, you're right.
Maybe.
So yeah, it's
still here by the skin of his teeth, but it's still here, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah. We're so Kodak might be the
might be one of them. Who knows? Yeah,
it's just kind of interesting to put all that in perspective.
Nope.
So again, I think what I do decently well is think long term, but also I do like to get things done.
And you and your brothers recognize each other's talents, and you respect the space. You respect the talents.
Yeah.
And that's good because, it's sometimes it gets a little competitive, right?
It's hard in a family business, but the key is to step back and give everybody the chance to contribute.
Yeah.
So if someone feels, you know very strongly, if someone has an extremely strong opinion and this is in a family business, or if you have a partner, or even if you have a team member, an employee who has a strong opinion, if someone has a strong opinion, you really want to listen because they have that opinion for a reason. So say if you're not in a family business, and if one of your employees comes to you and you can tell that they really care about something, if it doesn't hurt you to go with that idea or that project, why not do it?
Right.
Because it makes that person feel good.
Sure.
So you kind of have to approach some of your aspects in your family business the same way. If the idea is not a bad idea, why not? But for the most part, again, I'm fortunate that I do have some family members that are pretty smart. We all have different roles here, which is a good thing. But and we're all headed in the right direction. So, yeah.
So when it comes, like your dad is still involved in the business.
He is. Yep, he's semi-retired at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually recently had a heart surgery
over
the holidays.
Okay.
So he's still in the process of recovering from that.
Okay.
But yeah, so he's semi-retired at this point.
Blessings to him.
Yeah.
Very interesting dynamic. So a couple of months ago, I interviewed Ray Isaac from Isaac Heating and Cooling. And it's family business, right? I think his grandfather started it.
Right.
He has three or four brothers in the business, and he's not the oldest.
Yeah.
He's somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
But they're so mature, they realize that, even though he's not the oldest, he's the right one.
Gotcha.
To be leading the company.
Gotcha.
And one of the brothers just wants to be a regular service technician.
Yeah, which is okay.
And which is great. Yeah, that's what he wants to do. So they've all come to peace at what their respective roles are.
Yeah.
And he said it works out great. There's no jealousy. There's no. And it seems like you guys have worked out. You've realized individually what you're all good at, what your weaknesses are, and just kind of found your roles into the organization, and you're all cool with that.
We have, and that's a hard thing. So we're, again, in a second generation business.
Yeah.
Some businesses, some very very large family businesses, make the decision to as they move forward, not have any family members involved in management whatsoever, because it's a hard thing to decide who is going to be involved in the family business. So if we're still around for the next generation, so say 20 years from now, when my brother and my future children, when our kids are at the age where they want to be in a business, the challenge then will be not putting too much pressure on those guys. But so at that point, we're going to have maybe half a dozen to 10 people who are owners in this company. How do you then decide who wants to be involved? That would be the trick. So right now we're fortunate that there's only a few of us, but the next generation, if this business is still around, that's going to be the hard part.
When it's still around, if they want to be involved, we'll say.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back. I'm here with Ben DeGeorge from St. Pauli Textiles.
St. Pauli Textile Inc.
And also DeGeorge Real Estate.
DeGeorge Property Group.
DeGeorge Property Group.
Yep.
Which is really kind of the Donald Trump real estate of Rochester, New York, right?
Yeah, that's our tagline. Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Some people will like that. Some people won't. Yeah. No. We'll be right back.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC. Stocks are higher today. The Dow up 284. The NASDAQ and S&P both 21 points higher. Wynn Resorts a winner on Wall Street. That stock's up 10%. On news that Matt Maddox is taking over as CEO. Steve Wynn quit because of sexual misconduct allegations. Disney stock higher because it figured out how to make money on ESPN. Charge people $5 a month to stream sports events they can't get anywhere else. Snap stock is up 37% because Snapchat picked up more users and more ad money. Snapchat will also start showing some live Olympics videos this Saturday. California billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong loves basketball, apparently news too. He just bought the LA Times from the owner of the Chicago Tribune for $500 million. And Winchester gun owners are going to have to bite the bullet. The company that makes ammo for those guns is raising prices because copper and zinc cost a lot more now. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewall.
Only one event unites the world. The 2018 Winter Olympics.
And there it is! Shaun White double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
See the world's best.
Lindsey Vonn is a gold medalist.
And see the world at its best.
To the finish, the Kaelin Schifrin wins gold for the U.S.
The 2018 Winter Olympics, coming February 8th, only on NBC.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Please call 1-800-414-1305 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1305. 1-800-414-1305. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1305.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
And we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am here with Ben DeGeorge from St. Pauli Textile Incorporated. I am Dave Milano, your host. We're here with Ben, a very young, very successful business owner of two businesses, DeGeorge Property Group as well. He's only 30, folks. I met him about 12 years ago. He and his best friend Joe were students at SUNY Geneseo, reached out to me as they were doing an online newsletter called Bigger Impact.
Bigger Impact Weekly, yeah.
Bigger Impact Weekly. They interviewed me, other business owners. Mm-hmm. And we have stayed friends. We've stayed in touch. And marvelous idea back in college to really start at a very young age to just meet people. Mm-hmm. Meet business owners, leaders, and learn and grow from them and build relationships. Very successful. You know, when I had Next Step You magazine, I purposely started a column called Interview with an Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And it was certainly wanted to write good content for our teen readers, but I have to admit it also was somewhat selfish because I wanted to get rock star, you know, people to interview for that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to meet these people. So I met the founder of Kinko's. I met the founder of Morningstar. Mm. I met the founder of JetBlue. I met Norm Brodsky, who writes for Inc. magazine.
I remember those interviews. Yeah. Those are good. You did a good job with
those. Well, and it was the same thing. I just wanted to meet like rock star people and learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love doing this radio show and my podcast is because I learn something every show.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I know you're busy, but maybe, you know, you and Joe want to start something new again, you know?
Yeah. We might have to. Oh, that's funny.
The St. Pauli newsletter, right?
That'd be great. Yeah. I mean, I think that, again, it's good to connect with people. It's good to learn from people. Mm-hmm. But I am impressed, David, by the content that you're producing right now. It's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, like you, it's coming from a good place. I'm sincere, authentic. I want to help people.
Yeah.
And so with my events, my content, my coaching, everything is meant towards helping people.
Yeah.
And that's why I chose the name Avanti.
Right.
Move forward with their dreams of starting or growing a business. Right. And for me, it's very inspiring.
Yeah.
So thank you for putting up with my cough.
No problem. You're fine.
Three young
You're
kids fine. Bringing home a little cocktail of germs every day from school. So, Ben, I now want to ask you, I know you're an avid lifelong learner.
Yeah.
What do you do to, you know, continue to keep the flow of knowledge, keep the synapses connected and excited mm-hmm. about life and business? What are some of the habits that you partake in to really stay current and on the cutting edge?
Well, thanks for asking. So I do read a ton. Mm-hmm. And
when do you find time to read?
In the morning. In the morning I read. I might read the Wall Street Journal or read a book that I'm working on in the morning. Mm-hmm. If I'm not doing lunch with anybody, I read at lunch. And I try to read fiction at night before bed. But I think the key with reading any nonfiction is to if the content isn't resonating with you, if it's not making an impact, put it down. It's not worth muscling through something that is not resonating with you. So there's been times over the years where I've purchased a book because it seemed interesting to me, or I thought that there was some content there that I needed at that time. And I started reading, and a couple of pages in, it just wasn't clicking. So I put it down, and then I was wandering through my house 2 years later, that book caught my eye. I picked it up and said, oh, this is exactly what I need right now. So I think sometimes with education and with reading and with learning, people put too much pressure on themselves. But I think the key is to take kind of a soft approach, be easy on yourself. If something interests you, dig deep on it. But to continually be a learner. So take advantage of your time driving to work every day. Listen to Dave's podcast.
Hey, I like that.
Right now, if you want to learn anything, the beautiful part about living in 2018 is it's free. So you can download podcasts, download audiobooks, whatever you're interested in, focus on that. So spend those 20 minutes every day commuting, listening to something instead of listening to music. And that's what my approach has been for the past 10 years, just to constantly try to learn.
Well, you know, I think Brian Tracy coined the phrase, or maybe it was Jim Rohn, university on wheels.
Right.
You know, that's you're good. Right. I mean, every now and then I'll listen to music because I want to get pumped up. Maybe it's warm out, put the windows down.
And think.
Listen to a little Michael Jackson, you know, dancing in my car a little bit. But 99% of the time, you're right. I'm listening to a podcast, a radio show, or a book on tape. Yeah. Like I'm reading right now, Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, quote unquote reading.
Right.
He's talking to me.
Yeah,
I mean, he's actually reading the book. The recording, and I get to listen to Tony Hsieh from Zappos.
That's good.
About delivering happiness, and I'm learning so much. It's fantastic.
That's good. That's important.
What are some of your favorite books? Like, let's say, okay, there's a let's pretend that a junior from SUNY Geneseo is calling you and said, Ben, you're so successful. You're only 30. You've got thriving businesses, and you know, what books do you think I should read to kind of start my entrepreneurial journey?
So that's a tough one. For someone starting, I would recommend any Robert Kiyosaki books. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was actually the first business book that I read in college. My best friend, Joe Norman, gave that to me. Mm-hmm. So absolutely Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which the motivation behind, you become motivated to start a business. It's very simple, but I would start with that. That's a good one. So for anybody, I would also recommend biographies for anybody who's just starting out. I wouldn't get too technical or into the weeds. For someone starting, the key is to get energized, get motivated, and get inspired. You let all the technical stuff kind of take care of itself, but you want to first fill your head with the possibilities. So after reading a half a dozen biographies of people who have been extremely successful, you'll see, wow, this person was just like me. He's a normal person. She's a normal person. That person just had drive, was very lucky, and made something amazing happen. So that's where I would focus in the beginning, is that motivation and understanding how other people have done it. And then once you start out on your path, from there you can get more into some technical reading in whatever kind of business or idea you're trying to pursue.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we're in your office, and you know your bookshelf is right next to us.
Yeah.
And you know our bookshelves are almost like exactly the same.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so you've got Good to Great. You have a lot of John Maxwell.
Yep.
Who, by the way, if anybody, you know, at the end of the day, the technical stuff, yeah, I mean, you could, you know, if you're a good leader, you're probably going to hire somebody to take care of that.
Right.
If you, you know, and if you're thinking about being a good entrepreneur, I think your number one role is to learn how to be a great leader.
I think so too.
And I would just say read every darn book from John Maxwell. Just focus. I mean, that, you know. As Michael Gerber says, work on your business, not in your business. Yeah. The best way to work on your business is to not only being a great leader, but creating other leaders within your organization.
Absolutely.
You know, should you be doing the work, or should you be kind of, you know, coaching, leading, inspiring the work?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember when I had, you know, my magazine, we had about 20 people.
Yeah.
People like, you know, what does Dave do? Because I literally wasn't laying out the magazine. I mean, I wasn't doing like the gritty work. Yeah. Some of the younger employees were like, what does Dave do? You know, because they didn't see me literally like doing what like, I'll say the tangible stuff that was like required to put out the magazine.
Sure.
And I took that as a compliment. I'm like, I am making sure that, you know, the wheels are greased, that the machine is running with good, with leaders, by meeting with my executive team, helping them be great leaders, you know, establishing a great culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, we had core values that we lived every day. We would do a lot of things that were really, it would instigate a great culture. That was my number one role, I thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So John Maxwell's, you know, obviously Steve Jobs' biography, Michael Dell, you know, Atlas Shrugged. Mm-hmm. Got to read Atlas. It's a beast. But it's good. It's good to get underneath you, you know. So
yeah, there's some interesting ones. I mean, we're looking at the shelf right now. Mm-hmm. And I see one that would be good for anybody who is trying to get motivated, called Onassis.
Hmm.
So this is a book on Aristotle Onassis, the shipping magnate who married Jackie.
Yeah.
And he was a self-made person. You know, right mm-hmm. from the he rose out of poverty in Greece. And became one of the wealthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Again, you just never know where an amazing book is going to come from.
Yeah, yeah. Another one, Sam Walton, his biography, which I read and totally inspired me. And you learn about, I mean, this is a guy who built the world's biggest company from, what's it called? What's the name of the town? Bensonville, Arkansas, right?
Yep.
You know, people say, I got to move to New York City. I got to move to a big city. Well, you know, Sam Walton built the biggest company in the world,
right?
From a little, like, you know, backward town in Arkansas.
It's true.
And then you read about his story.
Yeah.
And when he was first starting out, I mean, he was knocking on doors. He was sharing hotel rooms with his employees to save money.
Sure.
And he was a regular guy.
Yeah.
Just like you and me. Yeah. That worked his tail off.
Yeah.
And certainly that, combined with some great brains and blessings, he did okay.
Yes, he did.
So that's another great book to read too. So
that's
and then book. I just read last year. You asked me when we were talking before the show.
Sure.
The best book I read in 2017.
Right.
And I'm going to say Titan. Mm-hmm. And Titan is a book written about John D. Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. And once again, this guy came from nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, he spent a lot of his youth here in upstate New York. And built at that time the world's largest company. You know, there was a lot of controversy about his methods.
Right.
But you know what? He was a businessman through and through.
Yeah.
And he did everything he needed to do to build that business. And at the end of the day, he was a good church-going man and gave one heck of a lot of money to charity.
That's true.
Back in the day. So.
That's true.
So, Ben, before we go, what are some of your personal habits? Do you have any daily, weekly, monthly habits?
Yes. So I was telling you before the interview, I set a goal in January to do 100 push-ups every day. So for some people, that may not sound like a lot. For some, it may sound like a lot. For me, it was very hard. So at first, January 1st, it was very hard. It got easier until the middle of the month, and then it got a lot harder, to the point where at the end of the month, I would do 20 push-ups and collapse on the floor. So
I was just exhausted.
Yeah. So I take daily walks. So I walk for 20 plus minutes a day outside, no matter the weather. On the weekends,
like at lunch or something.
Usually in the afternoon, maybe 3 o'clock, somewhere around there. I might take some calls, go on a walk. I think it's important to spend time outside. Sometimes during the week, I might go on a hike for an hour in a park. On the weekends, I often hike for a couple hours between Saturday and Sunday. I love being outside. I've always been an outdoors person. I'm an Eagle Scout, so I'm involved in Boy Scouts still.
Yeah.
I do love to camp, love to hike. So for me,
Troop 341 right here.
Nice, Troop 332 right
here.
All
right, there you go.
so for me, in order to stay sane, I need to spend quality time outside.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. It's a chance to become more creative. I just love standing out there looking at the trees.
Getting the fresh air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so I do try to do something physical every day. I think that's important for anybody, no matter where you are in your life, to do something physical every day. And I think you do the same thing, right, Dave?
I sweat every day.
Yeah.
Sweat every day. Got to do something every day.
What do you do?
I am up at 5, and what I will do in the morning is I pray, I meditate, and I read. And then I have a huge glass of water.
Nice, good.
I'll do that, and then I will work out. And I'll do different things. So I'll either alternate between doing some type of beach body workout, like a P90X type of workout, or I'll run. You know, treadmill or outside, depending on the weather.
Sure.
I like outside too. So I'll spend some time doing that. Ben, believe it or not, I think you're running for the show. Dave, what are we going to talk about for an hour? We are coming to the close. So I'm here with Ben DeGeorge, everybody, from St. Pauli Textile Incorporated. Ben, if people want to get in touch with you, say hello, meet you, learn from you, maybe do business with you somehow, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
They can send me an email.
Okay.
BenDeGeorge@gmail.com.
All right.
So BenDeGeorge@gmail.com.
Ben, all right. So giving out the email, ladies, he is married. He's happily married. So make it more personal, business, learning related. Okay. So
that's funny.
Very, very good. Well, Ben, I know you're busy. Really appreciate your time. I know you're a little shy to get on the show.
Sure.
I had to pull out my Mr. Miyagi sales techniques.
You are a great salesperson.
To get you on the show.
Yes, but I enjoyed it.
I think at the end of the day, I really had to use my Italian guilt techniques on you, but they worked, right?
So you're good at that. You're a good salesperson.
It worked. So.
And anything for you, Dave.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really, really, truly appreciate your time. And Avanti listeners, thank you for your time listening to the show. Appreciate it. We do have to go. So thank you for everyone for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. And if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. Mamano is spelled M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.